Hello and welcome back to the Legal Queen podcast. I release these episodes each Monday evening at 6 p.m. We have 11,000 monthly listeners, so I hope that you enjoy as we try to help those that have a family law question or query by giving as much information as we possibly can. If I could ask that if you enjoy this podcast, please consider giving me a 5-star rating so that we can help even more people. My goal is to reach a total of 50,000 monthly listeners by the end of this year, and you guys can help me do that. Anyway, let's get on with the episode. I hope you enjoy. Mun, you have just put your hand up. So whenever you are ready, I'm going to invite you to the stage. There we go. Whenever you're ready, ask me your question. Hello?
There's a lot of misinformation. I thought I'll ask you directly. If you were never married via registration and you just had a religious ceremony.
Yeah.
Is that recognised? Because what I'm hearing now is it can be classed as a recognised marriage in
no.
the UK.
No, it's not, Mun. I can jump in there and you don't need to tell me anymore. No, it's not. So the fact that it's not recognised as a marriage, if it's just a religious marriage, means that if the relationship breaks down, you'll be treated as just cohabiting couple and not a married couple. And no, for those others of you that are listening, the law is incredibly different between the two.
How do you distribute? Do you have to distribute assets, or do you just walk away with what
you mean
have?
as a cohabiting couple? Do you mean?
Yeah.
So assets that are in your name belong to you. Assets that are in joint names belong to both of you. And carving up those assets is a lot easier, because if it's just in your name, then it just belongs to you. It's very difficult for somebody who's been in a cohabiting relationship to try to make a claim against their partner's assets. So, yes, it's a very sort of clean cut way to do it.
Even if you have children together.
Even if you have children together, yeah, absolutely.
Do we have to take into account the needs of housing the children?
No, not necessarily. Not when you're not married. No, absolutely not. If the other person can't afford to house the children, there are certain applications they can make, but that's a different question. But no, the court don't really get involved in that. When we're just talking about assets and a couple that aren't married, they walk away with what's in their name.
Got it.
Yeah, no problem at all. Well, thanks for sharing that question, Mun. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. That was a really good question that Mun asked us there, because the law is very different when you're living together and when you're married. I did a video a couple of weeks ago about, is there such thing as common law man and wife? That myth still goes round, and it scares me that people still think that there is such a thing. There is absolutely no such thing as a common law man and wife. So somebody on TikTok has just said, where do we ask the question? So we're over on the TikTok. Sorry, we're over on the Discord. So if you come into the Discord and just search for the Legal Queen and then come into the lounge, you'll be able to ask me a question that way. Question on Instagram. I'm married, but our home is in my husband's sole name, as is the mortgage. Can he make me leave if I haven't applied for an occupancy order? So strictly speaking, he can ask you to leave. But do you have to go? Absolutely not. What you want to do is register your home rights. So just because the house is in his name, because you are married, it's what we call the matrimonial home. So you need to be registering a HR1 with Land Registry. What that means is that if he tries to sell it, then you are going to be notified, because he is able to sell it without your permission, without you having to sign anything, without your input. And of course, if he sells it and then goes and spends all the money, that's going to leave you in a tricky spot. So make sure that you register your HR1. If he asks you to leave, you simply say no. The matter has to be dealt with if you can't agree with the courts. And the courts will decide who gets what from that property. But don't be concerned that your name isn't on it, okay? As his wife, it's the family home, the matrimonial home, and you'll be entitled to a share. Somebody else on Instagram says, X has child arrangements order. Can he go back to amend it simply because he wants more access than what he originally agreed? Well, what he's doing there is asking for a variation to the existing child arrangements order. So the answer to your question is yes, he can make an application to vary. But the better question, I think, and probably what you wanted to ask is, will he succeed in that application? And that's, I don't know, because I don't know what he's starting with. You know, if he's starting with alternate weekends, and then perhaps two nights in the week that he doesn't have the weekend contact, that's quite a lot of contact. And the court might say, well, actually, you know, any more may be disruptive to the child, so let's just stick with what we've got. So it will depend on, you know, what he's having at the moment. But he can make the application to vary if he wants to. Well, thank you, Alastair. That's very sweet of you to say that. Cinderella on TikTok. I have no home. He has his. We never lived together as man and wife. Can he claim my home? You've never lived together as man and wife. I'm therefore going to assume, Cinderella, that you weren't married. So if you're not married, the answer to that is no. If you don't have things in joint names, then he's not going to be able to make a claim to any of your assets, okay? Only assets that are in joint names, you're going to be dividing equally between you. Right, back to Instagram. Laura, what should my dad do? His wife is having an affair. He feels trapped. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Laura. I really am. It's an issue for your dad, really. It's how he feels and what he wants to do. You know, if he wants to end the relationship and start divorce proceedings, then that should be the first step. So he can do that by visiting the government website and starting the divorce petition himself. Then, of course, if he wants to sever the finances, he needs to come and have a chat with one of us, because that's not something that I would advocate people do themselves. Okay, so back to the TikTok. My SW asked me to withdraw application for discharging care orders. Hello, Legal Legal. Well, I don't think that's a question as opposed to a statement. Thanks, Captain. I see your message. He's going to be right back. If your social worker has suggested that you withdraw your application, doesn't mean that you have to do it, but know that when your application gets to court, the judge is going to be looking to the social worker for perhaps guidance on this matter. So the social worker is going to be saying to the judge, I told them to withdraw their application. I don't think that the care order should be removed. So just bear that in mind, okay? Over onto the Instagram. X refuses to reply to my settlement offers and the mediation date for court papers has passed. Any advice would be appreciated. Look, if you haven't got an agreement with your ex and mediation hasn't assisted you, you're going to have to go to court. It's as simple as that. You're going to have to go to court and you're going to have to ask the judge to help you decide who gets what from the finances. Okay, so don't worry about the mediation date passing. Just go back to the mediator and ask them, excuse me, to give you a MIAMS form. But ultimately, court might be the only option for you. Right, I've got a couple of hands up now. ABZ, you are first, and then Captain, you are next. So, ABZ, how can I help?
Hi, Tracy. Just
Hello.
A quick one here.
Yeah.
So, I've applied for MIAMS just before the court. I thought I was exempt because I'm from Northern Ireland, but they said that you can do it by a video call sort of thing. So, I think they contacted my ex-wife and she sent me an email saying that she's not available for any sort of MIAMS or mediation until mid-October during the October holidays. What's the sort of appropriate amount of time that I should sort of be like, right, you know what, wait and sort of not apply for court and not ask my...
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm familiar with your matter because you and I have spoken before, and my memory tells me that you are making an application, or you will be, for a breach of an order. And in that instance,
you
don't have to submit a MIAMS form because you've already been in proceedings and the order that's been made has been breached. So I think you're more than able to just submit your application for breach of the existing order and forget the MIAMS. And the only reason that I'm suggesting that is because you're going to further delay, would be my thought. You know, by the time we have Miams, and then if she wants to attend and setting up a, you know, you're going to delay and delay. And we're getting ever closer to Christmas. You know, it's the 1st of September at the weekend, and, you know, we are already waiting 3 months for a hearing date. So September, October, November, you're going to be looking at beginning of December. Now, I'll also let you into a secret, because obviously you won't have been in the court system for as long as I have. But once we get to November, we have a lot of applications going in, because that's when the parents suddenly realise they've got no agreement for Christmas contact. So there's a lot of applications will start hitting the court very soon. So if I were you, I would just get your application in for a breach.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Tracy.
Pleasure. Okay, good luck. Bye. Captain, you are next up. How can I help?
Can I ask about if my husband and I should sell our jointly owned house before or after the financial order is done? I still live there with our teenage children, and he has moved out and is living with someone else for a year.
You can sell it, absolutely, before the order is done. However, what you don't want to do is perhaps divide the money until you've reached an agreement. Okay, so reach the agreement, get the agreement put into a financial order, get the order sealed by the court. So three steps there. If prior to the order being sealed by the court, you actually manage to sell your property, go ahead and sell it. Go ahead and sell it. Sorry, Captain, you're really glitchy today. Go ahead and sell the property, but leave the proceeds of sale with your solicitor, okay? Don't divide them out between you because essentially it may all go wrong. So that would be my advice there. Captain, we will try you again.
So my boyfriend and I are both divorced. I have a clean break, but he does not. I will be getting a strong share of equity from the sale of my FMH. He shares a child with his ex-wife and the arranged maintenance between them. There is no order in place. They weren't aware that they needed to do a CB when divorcing. If we move in together, how do I protect my assets from his ex-wife making a claim against them?
Well, let's demystify the message because there's people listening. So FMH, for a start, means former matrimonial home. CB is clean break, so a clean break order, we don't have anything to divide. So the question essentially is from a partner who has got with somebody who is going through a divorce and hasn't quite got the financial order yet. Know that it's not that your assets will be at risk essentially, but the partner, the person asking the question, will or may have to make disclosure of what they've got coming in and what they've got going out. And the reason for that, and I know this infuriates so many people, but the reason for that is the court want to know how much help they are giving to the person that's living with them. So, you know, the ex that is going through the divorce is now living with this person and they are contributing towards that person's housing needs. So they're sharing the rent or the mortgage and they're paying half of the bills. So it may be that the court want to see how much that this lady or this person asking the question is earning. Her assets may come at risk in that the court may then view that if it's her house they're living in, that his housing needs are met, and then his ex gets more of the former matrimonial home because she needs it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps her. Ex lives 1.5 hours away, has Friday to Sunday night with child arrangements in place. Son starting school next year. Is this too long for commute to school? Should I apply for a variation? Yeah, I mean, look, it's a bit long, you know, an hour and a half in the car to then go into school and start the school day could be considered a little bit long. Obviously, a question like that is very specific to your family. And should you be applying for a variation? I take it you are thinking about going straight to court because your ex isn't going to be in agreement with you to maybe return the child on a Sunday evening. That would seem the more logical way round. And of course, if the other parent wants to be involved in school, then perhaps they can collect from school on the Friday, because the hour and a half going back home is okay. But perhaps it is a bit of a long start on a Monday morning. But that's down to your family, really, and what the child's used to. I'm going to come on to the TikTok and the Instagram. My wife says I'm not entitled to her 10-year pension before we got together. Is this true or not? Well, this is from Kathy, I think. If you've lived together, cohabited, as we say, and then you do a seamless transition into marriage, the period of cohabitation or living together is included. So I've actually done divorces where the couple have only been married for 2 years, but prior to that, they lived together for 18. So actually, we've got a 20-year relationship. And yes, Kathy, you are then entitled to those years of pension contributions that were made when you weren't married, but only where you have lived together. Okay, so hopefully that helps. X won't provide father with passport information of the child. Original order says he can take the child away. What application needs to be made, please, and chances of success? Well, look, that's the other parents being so petty there. You are doing a C100 application and you're asking the court for a specific issues order. The specific issue is that you need details of the child's passport. You need the child's passport. And moving forward, you want to be able to have that passport at least a month or two before travel. Okay, so it's a specific issues order which you apply on the... C100 form. The reason I hesitated is because Jamie Morris over on the TikTok has saying literally no benefit to getting married. I hear you, Jamie, and that's a lot of people's view. But let's remember that we don't get married so that we're going to get a financial benefit from it, or at least the majority of us don't. But thank you for the comment anyway. Appreciate it. Captain, you have your hand up again. Did you have another question for me?
I did. I've got Becky's question.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
So Becky said, can you please ask where I stand? My husband has been having affairs and has left the marital home. The mortgage is in both names. It's going down emotional and financial abuse from him. He is now threatening to use his key to come into the home whenever he wants. Where do I stand with changing the locks, please?
So there's no sort of law on this, if you like, but the general rule of thumb is that once a person's been gone for 2 to 3 months and you're satisfied that they have somewhere else to live, i.e. by changing the locks, they're not going to end up on a park bench and have nowhere to go, then you can do it. You know, the court would say that after 2 to 3 months, if they've been gone consistently throughout that time, then by all means, go ahead and change the locks. You know, a lot of people will argue, well, I'm still named on that property and I'm going to come in and, you know, visit as and when I want to. It's a consequence of the separation, I'm afraid. You can't do that. You have to extend that person their privacy. And whilst the house might still be in your name and you might even be paying the mortgage, if you've decided to go, then you've gone. And that's that. You know, the court's quite clear on that.
And I think it'll help. My partner and I decided to separate and we have come to an arrangement for child arrangement without going through the family court.
Yeah.
Is that possible and is it legally binding?
So it's not legally binding, but where... parents agree on where the children live and who they're having contact with, as this couple have, the court will apply the no order principle. What that means is the court won't get involved. So if parents are in agreement to the child arrangements, then they will stay out of it. The court will stay out of it. But no, it's not legally binding. But then you don't need it to be legally binding because you're both in agreement to it. It's where parents can't agree on where the children live and who they should have contact with, etc., that you then make an application to the court and then the court will get involved. Okay, so hopefully that's helped. And I can see that, Captain, you've dropped out of the stage. Thank you again, as ever, Captain, for your help today. I understand you've got to dash back to work, but I do appreciate that. Thank you so much. And hopefully those answers have assisted. Just wanted to answer a question, actually. It's a question that I get asked a lot, and it's very close to my heart in that I've represented quite a few people who have been in this situation. Lady said, been in a cohabiting relationship for 22 years, lived in a house with my ex, but the house isn't in my name. Am I entitled to that, a share of that property? And the answer to that question is no. And it's heartbreaking when we get cases like this. One of the reasons I do all of this social media is to spread the knowledge. Where you live together and you don't get married, the law is very different. And I did a case years ago where she was with him for 28 years and they had 5 children together, but they'd never got married and the house was in his name. The relationship ended. There were no children by that stage under the age of 18, and that lady had to walk away with nothing. She wasn't entitled to anything from that property. So that answers that lady's question. But the reason that I wanted to specifically answer that one is for those of you out there that live in a property that's not in your name and you are not married, just know your legal rights. You know, none of us know when a relationship's going to end. None of us can foresee that. If we could, we probably wouldn't enter into the relationship, would we? So just know your legal rights, okay? What you don't want to do is be having a conversation with me after the event. And the other thing, of course, is if you've been with someone a long time and you're asking to go on the mortgage and they say no, that's a big red flag, isn't it? That's a massive alarm bell. Georgia, you are next up. What's your question?
Hi. So basically, that I've got loads, so I'll join another chat another time. But the main one is that I'm going to court on family court on Friday.
Yeah.
My ex has employed a very, very good lawyer. We've sent our statements and everything because obviously it's coming on Friday. But their lawyers on the bottom of their emails keep putting, "I advise you to seek legal independent advice."
Yep.
On this matter.
Yeah.
Now I'm really scared now that I'm going to turn up, even though Kafka said I wouldn't need a lawyer,
yep,
that I'm going to turn out and be massively kind of outgunned now, yep, if that makes sense. And yep, I can't afford a lawyer. He had all the finances. He was always in control of the money. So I'm a little bit of a loss and I'm very worried now. So I'm just kind of, is there something you could advise? Do you think I'll be okay? Like, I'm not really sure what to do.
Sure. Okay. I mean, look, it's understandable to get jittery, especially a couple of days before court. Out of courtesy, if my opponent is a litigant in person, which is what you are, Georgia, you're representing yourself, I will always say, look, I suggest that you do seek independent legal advice. Not because I'm going to, you know, disarm them to potentially at court, but more so because I just think that they're not really understanding the consequences of what we're getting into. Do you know what I mean? So yes, maybe through the correspondence I'm having with them, they're just missing something. So I might sort of, you know, say to them, look, please take some independent legal advice. So that's the first thing I would say. But don't be concerned by it. Don't be worried. No one's going to ambush you at court. The second thing I would say is that know that you can always have a one-off consultation. Just because you can't afford ongoing legal help doesn't mean that a solicitor doesn't want to speak to you. We do loads of one-off consultations at my firm where people want to speak to me or another solicitor or even a trainee solicitor. You know, I have trainee solicitors in my firm that are really good and can deal with things like a children's application. They're a lot cheaper for the client, but they just need to get a feel for their success in court and what it is that they should be focusing on, the arguments that they need to be making. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that's an option for you, Georgia, but I just want you to know, because some people think, well, if I instruct a solicitor, I've then got to have them do everything. You don't have to do that. And sometimes just that one-off consultation helps, okay? The other part of your question is, you know, do I need to get a solicitor? I can't really answer that because I don't know anything about your case. And obviously, I don't want you to share that with me on this public forum. So yeah. I don't know is the answer to that question.
Okay. No, I completely understand. Yeah, maybe I'll go and see Citizens Advice or something tomorrow then and see if there's something that I can, if they can have a look at it maybe.
Yeah, you can also, if you go onto Google and type in pro bono, P-R-O, new word, B-O-N-O. And there's advocates out there that will give you some free assistance. They can be baby barristers. There's clinics where law students run clinics and they'll give you some advice under the guidance of a qualified lawyer. So that can sometimes help as well. If you put in pro bono support, you may get a university or something nearer to you. They'll be a little bit more tailored towards family law than citizens' advice.
Oh, okay. That's lovely. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Georgia. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So there we go, another live show. I really hope that you enjoyed that. And look, for those of you that are representing yourself in court or you just want to know more about divorce, finances, children, don't forget to check out my website where you can download lots of free stuff. I've got some free guides on there. Or alternatively, I've also done some courses that can be a great support, particularly if you don't have a solicitor. For those of you listening on the podcast, I really hope that you enjoyed that episode. And don't forget, guys, if you can give me a 5-star review, if you think it's worthy of one, that would really help us increase our monthly listeners and therefore help more and more people. Thanks again.